knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Good question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, there's any number of things that could have been my bright
sure.
spot. But as soon as you showed up here at the studio today,
yep.
we had to dip into the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What should pop out of this mailbag?
Something beautiful.
An amazing thing. Got a little package from Eric. Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah.
This person went to Alex's bankruptcy auction and bought two of his watches, which we are now wearing.
We are now recording our first Alex watch episode.
Yep.
This is...
Looking at this watch, it's about time for us to start the pod.
The time is currently not moving
yeah.
because I do not know how watches
the
work.
The batteries might be dead, but they're nice watches. They're definitely... Neither of us are watch people.
No.
We're not much... You know, I have my pinky ring that I'll wear from time to time,
sure.
but it feels extravagant
yeah.
In a way. But it's a thrill. It's absolutely a thrill to theoretically be wearing some of Alex's property.
It really is. It really is. It's a tactile feeling of victory.
Mm.
It is a trophy. It is a trophy that we have ripped from the entrails of our kill.
And I realized as soon as I opened the box and I looked at the note,
mm-hmm.
I realized that I never would have asked anybody to do this.
Yeah.
But I did really want someone to do that.
Yeah.
I did want a piece of Alex's shit.
I mean, it's no desk, but God
no.
I mean,
but it fits in the apartment.
No, absolutely,
that's, you know, the desk would be a hindrance.
It'd be a nightmare. Yeah. We'd have to get a whole studio just for the desk.
Yeah. What's your bright spot?
Well, I mean, I had a bright spot, but I mean, fuck me. These things are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is too nice. This is too. Well,
there was another thing in the mailbags. Yep.
There is another one.
If you wanted to also give a thank you to the person who sent you a little hat.
Absolutely. We got some stuff from Portland. Mr. Kylie sent us some Portland Thorns scarves.
Your favorite team.
Yeah, whenever we were in Portland, my wife was, we went and watched a game, had a ton of fun. They listened and sent us some scarves because whenever we go for the show in December, they will not be playing on account of it will be too cold.
Yeah, and it'll be just cold enough for a scarf.
It will be. So we'll have these, or at least I'll probably have them. Or I will forget in the meantime.
Yeah, probably.
But we'll probably see you there.
So, yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah. We got a good, we've had a good
bright spot day. Yeah.
Oof,
but, look at that.
I mean, seriously.
I feel, like, rich.
Yeah.
I feel wearing a watch makes me feel insanely rich.
It's crazy. It hurts my I've never physically had a watch like this on my body before.
The blood is not coming through to your hand fully.
No. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. I want to take it off, but we're going to record with it on.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's charging your blood attacks as it goes through to your hand and back.
Absolutely. You can afford to lose a little bit of feeling in your hand.
Tingle.
That's the rich way.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
All right.
We're going to be talking about Alex on November 4th, 2025.
All right.
I don't know if you know the significance of this day.
Remember the 4th of November, the day before another stuff thing happened.
Well, there's two things.
Okay.
One, we've got a lot of elections that are coming up.
Sure.
You know, Mamdani in
sure.
New York.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then second, Dick Cheney's dead.
Dick Cheney's dead.
Yeah.
Good for us.
So,
the world.
How can you not check in to see how Alex is doing with the death of one of his grand villains?
Ugh.
So yeah, we're gonna check in, see how he's doing.
Yeah,
and it's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we should all celebrate. He's one of history's great villains, to be honest.
Alex will say maybe 3 times. I don't celebrate people's deaths.
But fuck that guy. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a fair take.
So we'll get down to this, but first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, happy birthday, Sergeant Walrus. Every day with you is a demon feast. I love you despite your scarily good Alex impersonation. From Miss K and the Tiny Pig. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, the cuck destruction was an inside job. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And hi, Raz. Yes, you, Raz. I still proudly display my gay frog in the library, and it confuses the students. P.S. We should meet soon. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much, too. If you want to give a shout out, I humbly request that Dan do his best chicken squawking impression.
That was great. That was actually pretty great.
Chicken-y.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Love it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Maybe this is my new thing.
I'm honestly surprised you have a pretty solid chicken.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
How about that?
That's one of, that'll be my, going on an acting reel
yeah,
or something.
You've got a Pablo Francisco-like career ahead of you.
Sweet. So, Jordan, Dick Cheney's dead.
Yep.
And Alex starts off the show by playing a special report that he recorded upon learning that Dick Cheney was dead.
Okay.
Dick Cheney, one of the most evil men in modern history, died yesterday at 84. And whereas I don't really like to ever celebrate anybody's death, this is just another bellwether sign of the old evil neocon globalist establishment dying and passing away. His daughter being thrown out of Congress with the lowest approval rating ever in the low 20s is just emblematic of humanity rejecting their evil. They knowingly lied about WMDs. They created the Project for New American Century a year before 9/11, calling for a catalyzing terror attack that would kill 3,000 people. But they said the same number as Pearl Harbor, was 3,000. 9/11 was 3,000.
I feel like Alex doesn't really know that much about Dick Cheney. While he's doing this special report about Cheney's death, one of the first data points he brings up is about Liz Cheney having low approval ratings in Congress, and then he drops a reference to the Project for a New American Century.
Yep.
One of the reasons that you can tell that Alex's interest in this topic is, like, really shallow is that he said that Cheney created PNAC the year before 9/11, or in 2000. This is because the document that Alex misrepresents about the new Pearl Harbor thing, titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, was published in 2000. The think tank itself was founded in 1997, and although Dick Cheney signed on with their founding publication, titled Statement of Principles, he didn't run the group. There's a lot of bad stuff that you could say about Dick Cheney.
Sure.
And you should.
Yeah.
And why not?
Absolutely.
But it seems like Alex just has buzzwords. He just has fun conspiracy buzzwords to throw out.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the thing about it that sucks, right, is that we should all celebrate because he can't hurt us anymore. But in terms of, like, this guy, he escaped. He won. He died without any consequences for being Dick Cheney, right? There's no celebration there.
Yeah, I've heard that angle. Yeah. And, you know, I'm up in the air about it a little bit.
He won. He got out, you know?
Yeah, but
good for him.
Who knows how much pain he had throughout, like,
sure,
some of those later years. You know, you say, there was never any consequences, and maybe not direct ones.
Sure,
but
sure. Age hurts us all,
sure.
Let's face it. Yeah, it sucks to be, old, and I guess he was 40% robot at the end.
Yeah, some kind of responsibility could be nice.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
accountability
yeah.
was never really had, and that sucks.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you take a full accounting of him, there's no side that you get to win on, right? If you take a full accounting of Dick Cheney, you'll find Dick Cheney in every aspect of the government since fucking HW was vice president.
Yeah, since
right?
Ford.
Yeah, so he's had shit in his fingers have been everywhere. You don't get to, like, hey, we're the good guys if you account for what Dick Cheney did. You just pick, like, he was the bad guy in 9/11, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there is something to that, like, in as much as, like, there's no way to make his legacy good.
Yeah.
And maybe that's its own punishment in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think history will ever remember. Like, there'll be a very, very small group of people who ever think that, like, that guy was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of them will be related.
I would be hard pressed to find anybody generations later being like, man, the way he bribed all those people was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. So, Cheney, he worked for a guy.
Sure.
Who worked for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who tried to do a false flag.
That'll
once.
Happen.
The man worked under Rumsfeld, who was the protege of L.L. Lemnitzer that planned Operation Northwoods, the plan to fly planes into buildings and attack U.S. military bases and blame it on Cuba and the Russians to start a nuclear war. That plan was killed by Kennedy. So we're talking
ironic.
About an evil, evil, evil person.
If you're following Alex, he's saying that Dick Cheney is evil because he used to work for Donald Rumsfeld, who worked for L.L. Lemnitzer, who was super evil. There is a much more direct ways that you could go about indicting Cheney for the horrible things he actually did himself. You don't have to make these kind of weird tertiary connections. But Alex does need to do that, because it's not good enough that Cheney was a critical piece of pushing the Iraq War and expanding the surveillance state. Alex needs him to be a link in the larger chain of his grand conspiracy story. It would be just as valid to say that Roger Stone and Rumsfeld both worked for Nixon, so now Roger's connected to L.L. Lemnitzer, and Alex works with Roger Stone, so Alex himself is basically an acolyte of L.L. Lemnitzer.
I feel like we're playing 6 degrees of mass murderer.
Yeah, stupid. Also, Alex is just wrong about Operation Northwoods, but we've been over that a ton in the past,
sure.
So let's not dwell.
Yeah, I mean, what would it would be a weird This Is Your Life episode. That would be a very strange thing if everybody just picked one of the things that Dick Cheney did.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, I'm just gonna focus on, what if we just had a book report class where everybody picks a year of Dick Cheney's life and finds the horrible atrocity he committed.
Yeah.
And then you got to do a full book report.
I was going back through some of his history.
Yeah.
And I will say that I did not get as far as I wanted to, because I came upon a picture of him with a full head of hair and I had to walk away. I had to get up from the computer and say, hold on now, hold on.
I can't live in a world with that happening.
It threw me.
Yeah, I bet.
So I just think that Alex is expressing a, I don't really know much about Dick Cheney, but I'm supposed to,
mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a video about it.
Great.
And God knows how many heart transplants he had. I'm not going to judge him from God's position. I don't know he's burning in hell, but he's burning in hell, in my opinion. So another one of these evil globalists is no longer on the planet and has now faced death, the ultimate equalizer. There are so many incredible crimes that Cheney committed. And you know, the fact that he was really the president, not George W. Bush, who was more just like an oaf. I don't even really see him as an evil person. Herbert Walker Bush's dad, extremely evil. His father, Prescott Bush, the main bagman for the Nazis, very evil. And so this is a very, very nasty, nasty, evil group of people. And you got Ben Shapiro and the rest of them saying that the neocons control the conservative MAGA movement and that Tucker Carlson and myself aren't MAGA. Well, let me tell you something, Ben Shapiro. You were a never-Trumper. You're a neocon. And so your spirit animal is Dick Cheney. And so your spirit animal is no longer with us. So
wait. Hold on.
You guys are not populist. You're not conservative.
I want to examine that.
You were pro-poison shot. You are pro-surveillance state. You are pro-tyranny. And you guys saying that Tucker Carlson is the new Hitler is a complete joke. You guys misrepresent everything. And just like Dick Cheney, you're on the ash heap of history. You're unpopular. And I saw Shapiro yesterday say, we control the conservative movement. We control MAGA. We won't let these Nazis take it over. You're billing everybody that disagrees with you as Nazis. Almost all of them are not Nazis. And most of them aren't even anti-Israel. So you're full of crap, and people see through it. Follow me on X right here at Relox Jones.
Okay, so it was not a long video in his car.
No.
And I think it was about 90 seconds in that he abandoned talking about Dick Cheney at all.
Tell me about Dick Cheney that you learned from this video.
He worked for L.L. Lemonzer's friend Rumsfeld.
Right.
He had some hearts.
Right.
He had a bunch of hearts.
So he worked for a guy.
Rummy. Yep.
Right. The former vice president, the man who is the secretary of fucking everything at one point or another,
mm-hmm.
the guy who has been... He worked for a guy. That's his. That's that man in a word.
I would love for Alex to just be held. Gunpoint sucks, but like, what state was Dick Cheney a representative from? He was in Congress. What state, asshole?
For how long?
Until he answers.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean, like, within a very short period of time, he's ranking Bush family members on an evil scale,
right?
And then rambling about Ben Shapiro calling everyone Nazis. It's crazy.
I like the statement, your spirit animal's dead now, because I don't know. Okay, so if Dick Cheney is your spirit animal.
But then it would just be human, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Him dying would make him so much. This would be an Obi-Wan situation. Now your spirit animal is spirit.
I understand that. The concept of spirit animal is a little problematic in of
very
itself.
Very offensive.
And, you know, I don't want to dwell in these waters too much, but I don't think that they are either alive or dead.
That's kind of how it works.
They're spirit.
Yep.
You know, like.
Yep.
Huh. I don't know.
It's a paradox. I would say almost in thought. Yeah.
I got a strong vibe though that Alex was just like, I need to post something on Twitter before people lose the interest.
Right.
And. Cheney's death,
right?
Before the memes get old, and I don't really remember much, so here we go.
Well, Cheney's dead, so I just need to remind everybody that Prescott Bush sucked.
I think that if Alex died, I would have more to say about him.
Yeah,
and I would hope that he feels the same about Dick Cheney.
Hmm?
Apparently not.
I mean, we said more about Larry Nichols when Larry Nichols died than he said about Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's true.
Brutal.
So the real show starts,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of this seems like he's mad that
sure.
people are calling Tucker a Nazi
sure.
for talking to Nick Fuentes,
right?
Who's a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
It is Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, transmitting worldwide in defense of liberty and resistance to tyranny. Well, one of the most evil men of the last century, Dick Cheney, died last night of pneumonia and heart failure with one of the many hearts he'd had transplanted into his heartless body.
Nice.
And I never really celebrate anybody's death, but I am glad that he's had a chance now to face God, the things that he did. And just notice that the completely out-of-touch Democrat leadership and their own party, including leftist groups, celebrated Dick Cheney and Lynn Cheney, his evil daughter, endorsing Kamala. And they thought that would be a positive thing with the voters. So we have a new Republican Party that is almost completely anti-war, anti-neocon. And we have Mark Levin making really threats towards Tucker Carlson and others, joining Josh Hammer and saying, oh, you think you guys are popular? You think you're going to stop us? No, you're not. So they're trying to shore up the whole neocon arm of the Republican Party that Netanyahu's been right at the heart of, by calling everyone that's against it Hitler.
Yeah, so that, I mean, it seems like that's almost more important to him than Cheney dying.
So where on the Nazi scale is Cheney? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I would consider him on a slightly different axis.
That's the vibe that I'm getting. Like, we're talking about Dick Cheney, but he's completely irrelevant to the to the place that we're at, right? So
yeah.
Dick Cheney's dead. Anyways, all these people are fighting about whether or not we're Nazis. We already picked Nazi 10 years ago.
It's kind of like the villain from last season dies off camera during the second season.
Very much like, and by the way, he's dead. We're moving on.
Yeah, why do we care? We're into the middle of another plot now.
Why are you even talking to me about this guy?
Yeah, your characters have completely changed.
Weird.
Yeah, it does feel that way.
Yeah.
Fair enough, though, the idea that it was dumb for Democrats to... you know, be excited about his endorsement of Harris.
If there's anything that could be more damning, it is saying this. even Alex knew that that was dumb shit by the Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think many leftists are celebrating that, though.
No.
So there's a lot of elections going on, and Alex talks about some of the key ones.
All right.
So first off, let's talk about the key elections in New York, Virginia, New Jersey, Minnesota, Texas, California. I mean, it's all ultra important in this off-year election. And it's really a bellwether for how much election fraud will there be, with a lot of the poll watchers and experts Trump has out there, the Dems have been trying to block. It's totally constitutional. Will radical Islamicist communist win in New York and in Minnesota, in Minneapolis? Will the CIA on record operative in Virginia win the governorship, despite the fact that she defended the AG candidate, saying he's going to kill representatives in the government and their children by name?
So, for real, who could possibly be listening to InfoWars who gives a shit about off-cycle elections? This isn't what the man bullhorning outside Bilderberg would want to be doing with his time, and it's a sad reflection of the path that he's chosen.
Mm.
He's not even doing news coverage where the actual elections would be discussed. This is all just slop where a Republican win is assumed, and it's Alex's job to come up with explanations for how it was all cheating if they lose. It's hack shit.
Yeah.
And I can't, it's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a last season, man, this whole voter fraud thing, that's got to be in the past.
Yeah.
We just can't be doing that again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here's what I feel like. If you win 2 out of 3, then the next one, you just can't complain about voter fraud. You just can't do it. Right?
Yeah, because he got the mileage he needed out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just move on. Come up with a new villain. We can't do voter fraud again. We're definitely not doing like 3 million illegal ballots. Get the fuck out of here.
Ooh,
come on,
the ballots were a little too small.
Come on. Move on. Yeah. We got to do something else. You're Nazis. Fucking Nazi it up.
So Mamdani did win the New York mayoral race, but the other guy Alex is trying to get killed, Omar Fateh, did not win in Minneapolis. Mm. Incumbent Jacob Frey won another term, and he's from the Democrat Farmer Labor Party, which also included recent murder victim and former Speaker Melissa Hortman.
Right.
So I don't think Alex should see this like as...
Not a huge celebration.
No, it's still a losing situation.
Yeah.
Omar Fateh is still a member of the Minnesota State Senate, which Alex doesn't seem to be aware of.
Too. Yeah.
So, whatever.
Mm.
He's also lying about Jay Jones, who did win the race for the Virginia AG, and the Democrats flipped the governor's seat in the state, too.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was a really bad election for the Republicans, but it probably doesn't matter too much to them, because I'm not sure if the government exists anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say that in general, based on the way that they are behaving, if you are really into electoral politics, you are going to be disappointed even if you win.
Probably.
Yeah.
I feel like the government may or may not exist, depending on whether you need something or you're a boat. If you're That's a boat, fair. The government exists.
It exists very hard, and you will not be a boat for much longer.
Yeah, but if you need... food.
or let's say you need to get on a plane and go to another place.
I will say that I don't like to travel around the holidays.
Sure.
But multiple plans I'm privy to have been totally canceled because of we just don't want to travel.
We just don't know if we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
We may be having a long drive to Portland, my friend.
hey, good thing I got a license now.
Right.
Can actually trade shifts.
Yep.
So, you know, there's the election in New York.
Sure.
And there's some bomb threats.
Eee.
And Mamdani, he wants to blame Trump for it. And that's not cool.
Okay.
And then I was looking this morning. There's nowhere in New York City that's Republican, no precinct. But guess what? The ones leaning there, where you get more votes for people that aren't from Mamdani, they got bomb threats and got shut down. And Mamdani, of course, got ahead of it, being advised by Obama and the globalists, and said, with no evidence, Trump is behind the bomb threats. Yeah, uh-huh. And maybe we'll have some more water mains break like we saw in Atlanta, Georgia in 2020, you know, chicanery like that. And of course, there wasn't ever a water main that broke. There wasn't a water pipe. It was just a lie. So look for lots of that, and look for lots of midnight ballots being delivered. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
So to translate this, Alex knows that Mamdani is going to win. So he's priming the audience for election theft plot lines to be coming in the future.
Sure.
What I don't understand is, like, who does he want to win? Like, if there weren't any stealing going on, does he think, like, the globalists don't want Andrew Cuomo in office?
Right.
I get that he needs to make money stoking fear about Muslims and all this, but trying to play election fraud stories with this particular election just doesn't make sense.
What are we doing?
Also, Alex is just lying about there not being parts of New York City that vote overwhelmingly Republican. In the 2024 election, large areas of Staten Island and Queens went for Trump, as did a lot of the southern areas of Brooklyn. Alex doesn't take this shit seriously at all, and he just thinks of New York City as one big leftist blob that hates Trump. So he's pretending that he's done research that backs this up. Like, oh, I looked at all the precincts.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
All cities. And it's not like whoever defines size of city, not important. All cities in the Republican mindset are hives of sex and villainy and fucking Mos Eisley. Like, there is no way that they'll just be like, oh yeah, that's probably fine. My parents will never be like, Chicago is just okay.
Yeah.
Never gonna happen.
They think, like, walking down the street is like hot coals, but it's like shit and needles.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And there's just people who are going to attack you.
And everybody who has lived in a city knows that there are some densely Republican-leaning areas within cities.
Yeah. Where you hear about how bad you are in the place you live with them.
Yeah, that does happen.
Weird.
So, ICE, cool.
Sure.
Trump, cool.
Probably not, but okay.
They're all doing such good stuff right now.
I feel like that's not true.
Then we have big developments with ICE, where ICE is now releasing videos from the events you saw over the weekend and other places in Illinois, where they plow into ICE vehicles, attack the vehicles, try to get the prisoners out. ICE slams the people into the ground, not even as rough as I would. I mean, they just get them down. I couldn't help it. I'd probably bounce the head a few times after you ram me with your vehicle at 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, and try to kill me. And they go, oh, my God, and they cut to, again, we already covered this over the weekend, but it's incredible. They cut to the ICE on top of people going, look, they're just attacking citizens, no reason. And mainstream media, CNN, all of them run it. That's a scandal. That's criminal. That's trying to get ICE killed. You know, and Trump's like, oh, this other late night comic talking trash about me, that might be illegal. They have no viewers. Their jokes don't become the censor they say you are. You're not censoring them, but you're making statements like that. You don't need to do that. They're a joke. But when you release videos editing the truth and make it look like federal officers are just randomly attacking people, that is a dangerous fraud invoking violence.
So I get that Alex just wants to kill protesters,
sure,
but it seems kind of laughable that he's trying to justify why it would be okay if federal agents did that.
Like, I mean,
it's quite a departure.
Come on.
So the late night host in question here is Seth Meyers, who Trump complained at length about on the social media site that he owns,
sure,
where he said that it was, quote, probably illegal for Meyers to have 100% anti-Trump material.
That sounds true.
It's interesting that Alex's response to this seems to be advising Trump that Meyers isn't worth it because he has no viewers.
Yep.
Trump shouldn't try to arrest him because he's small potatoes. The reason that's weird is that Alex is supposed to care about free speech, and he should have a huge problem with the president ranting about how making fun of him might be illegal. None of the presidents that Alex has called tyrants, whose blood needs to be used to water the tree of liberty, have ever said anything close to that kind of shit.
Nope.
So this whole act seems so dumb now. If this is the angle he has on Trump.
Just going by the date, wasn't there a massive plot point in V for fucking Vendetta about how the dictator kills a late night host or some shit like that?
I think Alex has only seen that speech.
Yeah, that
I was waiting for you, Inspector.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. He likes that.
Man, I do like that. Hey, come on. Don't take away free speech because of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get Johnny out here. If Carson's talking shit about you, you take away free speech, obviously. There's only three channels. You take them all down. But with Seth Meyers, fucking 1 a.m., I'm not even awake at 1 a.m. Come on.
It's very not what he should. It's not the angle of free speech warrior.
What, you going to end freedom of religion for Satanism? That's practically nobody. Listen, you get Christians out here, you end freedom of religion, obviously. But come on.
It's a principled stand, and I admire it. So we got some medical news.
Sure.
Doctors can't just, like, kill you for your organs anymore.
That doesn't sound true.
Well, there was a memo.
You have the American College of Physicians having to send out a memo to all of the surgeons in the country saying your main mission is to save people, Hippocratic Oath. Do not kill people if they're viable for their organs.
Thanks, boss.
And that's because in a lot of these hospitals run by the former governor of Virginia, he talked about it on TV in interviews, they will kill somebody for their organs that is viable. And they will keep a baby alive and tell the mother it's died and then take it and harvest its organs. But don't worry, they keep it comfortable before they do it. Close quote.
Close quote.
Mm.
The whole time Alex was just trying not to do the keep it comfortable,
yeah,
that impression that he has.
That one would be not the right time for it. Not the right time.
So this wasn't a memo that was sent out to all surgeons, but that's what Alex imagined the story was after he skimmed a tweet about this.
Right.
In the real world, there was an article that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine where the authors discussed advancements in transplantation science, and they reaffirm already existing ethical guidelines around the subject. It's not like they were just like, hey, guys, you're stealing too many organs. We gotta cut this out.
I do like the idea that if they hadn't stolen too many, they could still be getting away with it, right? Mm-hmm. If they had just stolen a few, Alex would be like, ah, come on.
Chill.
What are you doing? This is the Seth Meyers of organ theft, man. Mm-hmm. You don't go for after this shit. Now they're just crazy.
Look, you can steal a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
Lungs? No. Too big.
I do. Here's what I like about the past and the present, right? Because we have futuristic technology, it's a lot easier to say stuff like, they just sometimes keep the baby alive and make it grow new organs. Mm-hmm. Because 100 years ago, that's exactly what you would say about demons, right? That's exactly the same words but now we've just got like, oh, they have incubators, so they can probably do that shit.
Well, there are ways to, like, after you have died.
Sure.
You know, like, keep your blood flowing.
Right.
On a machine, right, in order to preserve an organ.
Right.
So, like, yeah, we now know ways that this demon craft could happen.
Right. But here's the thing. That happened independent of his, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because we figured out a way to do that doesn't mean that he's not saying it because that's exactly what he said 100 years ago because it's demons.
Yes, right? That is true.
Right?
Alex's motivation and headspace is exactly the same.
Yes.
Yeah. But for us, it's weirder.
We've just gotten technology now that makes it feel weirder. Yeah.
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 So we got more medical news.
All right.
And it is that the people who are trying to make you inject yourself with mercury,
sure,
they can't do that anymore.
That's nice. Good.
So we have that insane evil being exposed, and that's because Kennedy has been exposing it with his task force and in ordering it, and they're getting ready, like it's already begun, to prosecute a whole bunch of these doctors and hospitals. And there's already been indictments that just barely hits the news. And then that's a bridge into this story. Robert F. Kennedy just announced it's official by law. Going to give them 3 months to do it, but all of the mercury out of hundreds of different so-called vaccines has been removed from all vaccines. We got a statement from him.
There were only a few flu vaccines that still exist that use thimerosal as a preservative, which is the only thing in vaccines that contains mercury.
Right.
It was more widely used in the past, but in 1999, regulators and manufacturers decided to scale it back just in case it was harmful.
Yeah.
There was no solid evidence that it was harmful, but there were other preservative options, so it wasn't worth the risk. It was still being used with flu vaccines that were multi-dose shots because it's more effective at eliminating germs. So I guess RFK can just replace it with a possibly less effective alternative.
Great.
RFK probably couldn't have gotten the CDC to ban thimerosal a couple months back, but then he fired the entire vaccine advisory committee and replaced them with his friends.
Yeah.
I'll just read you this little passage from The Guardian.
All right.
Quote, the vaccine advisory panel voted in favor of removing thimerosal on a 5-1 vote with one abstention after a controversial presentation from Lynn Redwood, a former leader of the World Mercury Project, the predecessor to Kennedy's group Children's Health Defense, itself a prolific anti-vaccine campaign group.
Great, great.
Redwood's presentation had to be updated after it was found to contain a link to a study that did not exist.
Mm.
One of Kennedy's vaccine advisors said during the meeting that a presentation from career scientists at the CDC, which laid out thimerosal's safety, was pulled by the secretary's office.
Right.
These aren't serious people, and they're going to get a lot of people hurt.
Yep. Yep. Well, what you going to do? I mean, you know, it is... Well, I said this to you a while back, but there is a certain element of, like, for the CDC, what matters more is consistency, you know? If you can never trust the CDC, that's pretty much as good as if you can always trust the CDC, because you can always trust the CDC to be wrong about everything, right?
Right. So you don't have to, the guy who always lies is trustworthy.
Yeah, you don't have to worry too much, like, oh, he says that Mercury's gone. First off, I don't believe that. I'm sure there'll be another thing in like 2 weeks that's like, eh, we put it back in. Who cares?
Yeah, right? But it'll be called like M squared or
Absolutely.
Something. Like, it'll be a cool supplement version of Mercury.
Right? And everything that he's saying is a complete waste of everybody's time. So I can ignore that. The problem is if he was right a little bit, then we're all fucked. Then you're like, ah, now what do we do?
Well, I think he's right about a few things. I mean, I think probably.
Like where to keep headless bear cubs?
Yeah, he's right about that. It was a prank. But also, like, I think he thinks carrots are good.
Sure.
You should have a salad. I think he believes that.
All right.
He's
okay.
Right about that.
All right. So if it is the stated position of the CDC that salads are good, mm-hmm. I'll let that go.
Yeah.
We'll let that slide.
Yeah. He's okay. Right sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
So there's a big rock that's flying out there in space.
Sure. That's Earth.
No.
Oh.
It's another one.
It's a different one.
And some people think it's a UFO.
Okay.
Because it's huge. Okay. But Alex isn't into that.
Okay.
But maybe he kind of is.
Okay.
Then we have mysterious interstellar visitor. Object abruptly lights up and accelerates. That's 3i Atlas. And you've got, you know, the head astrophysicist at Harvard saying, no, I really do think it's an alien spaceship now. Well, it looks like a big rock.
I don't think that's true.
But... a lot of scientists have pointed out, and astrophysicists, that would be the best type of spacecraft. Would have basically a city or a base, you know, inside of it with a propulsion system, so that when it went through space and ran into space debris and things, it wouldn't damage the whole of the craft. So it does have a very strange course coming into the solar system. But again, that's the corporate media, that's NASA, that's Harvard. I tend to lean towards this is more hype, and I don't know if we can even believe what they've said. We have some of the images with from satellites and their telescopes of it, so that it's definitely interesting. In fact, let's get Dark Journalist on.
Yeah, let's get Dark Journalist's
I'm sorry?
Take on this. He has a very important take, I'm sure.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a fucking comet.
Okay.
This guy from Harvard is trying to sell a book, and he's not even saying that it is a spacecraft. He's just trying to get attention.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in this telling of the story, I'm supposed to believe that NASA and Harvard and all of these people are like, well, I mean, hey, we've been against the whole aliens are with us all the time in the past, but there they are. Fuck it. They're aliens.
Does NASA exist right now?
And Alex is like, you can't trust these NASA guys. They don't know the science. That looks like an asteroid to me.
It's the perfect thing. You would want a big rock to protect you from space
what
rocks.
An amazing idea.
What about wormholes? I thought there was interdimensional travel and shit. You don't have to worry about space debris.
Dude, I don't even want to get into travel in space because it's not a thing.
If this were a really good idea,
yeah.
Elon Musk's rockets would be giant
surrounded
rocks.
By rocks. Yeah. Yeah. It makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense.
Oh, what a waste of time.
NASA is out here telling us that these are aliens riding an asteroid. Bunch of idiots. Bunch of eggheads.
So I'm going to call my buddy Dark Journalist to get to the bottom of it.
We'll have a rational discussion.
Yeah.
Great.
So, you know, there's all kinds of election fraud going on.
Sure.
New York.
Yeah.
Totally.
Frauded.
New Jersey.
Defrauded.
Right next door.
That is right next door.
Voting machines fail in GOP leading New Jersey districts. on election day. So not only, oh, I should have said this up front, I'm sorry. Not only in seven key, almost completely red voting areas, districts, precincts, have they gotten the strategic bomb threat shutting them down, like we always see, whether you're in Arizona, Texas, New Jersey, New York, doesn't matter. Now, strategically, the voting machines are down all over the place, only in Republican precincts and areas. And don't worry, though, ABC News and others have fact-checked it and said, well, yeah, a bunch of stuff's out, but it's nothing. This isn't a big deal. Voting machines fail in GOP-leaning New Jersey districts on Election Day. Machines went down in three Republican-leaning districts in Cumberland County, New Jersey, causing major delays.
So apparently the Democrats called in bomb threats and rigged voting machines in GOP areas in New Jersey in order to win the election.
Right.
But in a weird move, they also filed a motion to keep affected polls open late
right.
to accommodate voters.
Yeah.
It seems to me like if you're trying to intimidate voters away from the polls,
right.
it would be against your goal to extend the voting window. But I guess the globalists are unpredictable.
That's one of those things of like, that's like a security thing, you know, like, hey, you wouldn't want to miss the vote, would you? Mm-hmm. If you go to the vote, you might get hurt, but you wouldn't want to miss it. So let's leave those polls open late for you. Come on down. Come on. Go to the vote. You want to vote, don't you?
Knife.
Yeah, exactly.
So the police in New Jersey found one minor who was responsible for one of the hoax bomb threats on a polling place, mm-hmm. but it's unclear if they were behind other ones. ABC listed the counties that received bomb threats in New Jersey, and four out of the seven of them solidly voted for Harris in 2024.
Sure.
It seems to me that the most likely explanation here isn't some kind of partisan voter intimidation scheme, but rather just a reflection of how fucked up the world is now, that it's not really all that big of a deal that 7 out of the 21 counties in New Jersey got bomb threats during their off-cycle elections.
Mm.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Alex can play these fun games with tech glitches and pretend that the machines stole the votes, but I want to put this in a little bit of perspective for you. There were reports of some machines having isolated malfunctions in Cumberland County, but officials there said that all votes were recorded accurately and there were no problems.
Mm-hmm.
If literally every single vote in Cumberland County went to a Republican candidate, it still wouldn't make up for how much he lost Essex County by, which is where Newark
right.
is located.
Where all the people are.
There's no level of stealing that would even make sense for either side to do
yeah.
in Cumberland County.
Yeah.
So this is just fucking stupid and almost knee-jerk at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, and it bums me out. It bums me out because I feel like it denies the victory that they've achieved. Like if I'm in Russia, right, and there's a radio host who's like, "Man, these voting machines in St. Petersburg don't work well." I'm like, "You are fundamentally misunderstanding how our system works, buddy. I don't care if the electoral machines work." You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
But also, thanks for chipping in.
Yeah.
Sowing
yeah.
some distrust around so no one
yeah.
will ever.
Like, we needed the help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need it, but hey, we'll take
yeah.
it.
Yeah. 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 You're getting your money out of it.
Knife. So, Alex is a guy who loves the Constitution and he hates when Dems try and do stuff like, you know, whenever they have majorities,
right.
they like maybe will change the rules a little bit or talk about it.
Do they unilaterally change the rules by themselves once they get elected and declare themselves king?
They, according to Alex, yeah, they do
yeah,
that a
well,
lot.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he has some ideas about what Trump and the GOP should do.
Mm.
All right, now I want to go to break in about 7 minutes and come back and shift into other anomalies and chicanery going on and places like Minneapolis, of course, with our Somali friends, and Trump saying, look, if we don't get rid of the filibuster, the Democrats are going to be able to win the midterms. And we got bad news on that front. Senator John Thune indicates there's not enough votes to eliminate the filibuster, so they don't even have 50%. You know, that's going to be Rand Paul. Look, if we get rid of it, they'll be able to use it later. But they're already planning it. This is America is down to the wire here. It's do or die now. We have to take the gloves off. They're going to pack the Supreme Court. You know what? This is war. I just say Trump should pack the son of a bitch.
Okay. He convinces himself to like advocate for Trump adding 50 Supreme Court justices.
That'll teach him.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that that clip very succinctly and clearly illustrates Alex's political philosophy. He pretends to care about the Constitution and having a free form of government, but then he realizes he would prefer power, so all that other stuff is secondary. It would be totally fine if Alex was just a guy who was honest about wanting power, but his career has been built on this charade that his crusade was somehow about the Founding Fathers or a love for the Bill of Rights. He's only been able to attract an audience because he convinced them that he wasn't just another partisan hack and that he answered to higher principles like the Constitution. He didn't hate Clinton or Obama because they were left-leaning, and he didn't hate the Bushes because they were to the left of his extreme right-wing beliefs. He hated them because they viewed themselves as above the Constitution, and the Constitution was the only thing that protected all our freedoms. It was all an act, and he doesn't have to pretend anymore. Mm. He doesn't even care to look like he's pretending.
No, he doesn't.
If this is what Alex is willing to argue for, then there's really nothing left for him. Like, if America is teetering on the edge of destruction and Trump has to violate principles Alex thinks are sacred in order to save it, then there's nothing Trump can't do. He could declare martial law over the country tomorrow, and Alex would have to justify it, because if Trump didn't do martial law, the scary Antifa leftists would burn everything down. Mm-hmm. He's forced to. It's, yeah. You know, there's nothing. There's no point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird whenever people are like, I love democracy, but they don't really understand the fundamental grounding principle of democracy is that arms races are bad, right? Mm-hmm. So if Trump puts 50 judges on, well, then the response to that is going to be, I have to put 51 judges on. Do you see where this goes? So we're trying to nip it in the bud in advance. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea behind the thing.
Right.
Once you start, it's never going to stop.
And I think the pretty solid evidence that, let's say, rhinos mm-hmm. or Democrats wouldn't do these things mm-hmm. is that they didn't.
They could have.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah. And yeah. There was some sort of weird respect for, like, these are against the rules.
Let's not do an arms race. Mm-hmm. It kills everybody.
Yeah. Alex seems to want that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what dumb people think is smart.
Mm-hmm. You gotta do it now because they'll do it later.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
So the issue is that, like, every single election, the GOP would win.
All of them.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
It's all just cheating. Everywhere.
Really makes sense.
You know, Senator Manchin was just on TV, and he goes, well, you know, Trump wins by huge digits in West Virginia because we're really Democrats there, but they like Trump because they know he cares about America and wants people to not, you know, be freeloaders. No, it's because he's the only person voted for nationally. He's the only person where there's, you know, they can stack the votes and manipulate with the Democrat races, because that's easier to do. But when it's a straight up vote like that for the president, and you've got the poll watchers and the numbers and all the facts, when you get a landslide for him, the state goes red because it's already red. California's red, New Jersey's red, Illinois's red, Michigan's red, Arizona's red. Arkansas's red.
We're all commies?
Virginia, everything's red. Everything's red. It's only the blue cities where they've had election fraud. I have caught Austin in election fraud myself, gone and challenged it at the state, famously, look it up, 25 years ago. And the state board said, no, there was fraud, it was stolen, but we're not overriding. We had the eyewitnesses. I was in the counting center downtown. We caught them at 3 a.m., I caught the head of elections stealing the son of a bitch. They weren't even hiding it. I was there. They flipped the votes. Me and Mike Hansen were there. And the Democrats are only in power because of election fraud.
That's convenient.
Mm.
I would like Alex to produce this video because Mike Hansen has an archive of his old videos.
Yeah.
Like, not, it's obviously not full,
sure.
But he's posted a lot of shit on YouTube, and I've watched a lot of it, and this isn't something that happened. And there's some really boring fucking videos on there. So, like, if Alex caught election fraud at 3 a.m. at a counting center, and then the government was like, yeah, you got us, but we don't care, I think that would make the cut.
That probably would make the cut.
That's sensational.
For posterity,
yeah,
you hang on to that one.
I think there's a video of a spider eating a bug.
That's pretty exciting.
On Mike Hansen's channel. And maybe a video of Mike Hansen doing karaoke.
Yeah.
So I think Alex cracking the case.
I think it's funny that he stumbled upon a really good found metaphor for the whole politics of that idea of, like, cities are blue, and which is just basically people are blue, property is red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that concept of, look, see, California's a red state because the people who own everything vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, the people who live there are again it.
Yeah, yep. Yep. Population density.
Mm-hmm. Brutal.
Wild. So Alex wants to get rid of the filibuster now,
sure.
Which is not his consistent position that he's had over his career. But he justifies it by saying that, like, maybe Jefferson would be into that.
Interesting.
We have the power to pack the court. We have the power to end the filibuster. Blow it all up.
Okay.
Because if we don't, they are. And we have sat back and watched them engage in all this fraud and all this crime. And we won't even use the emergency measures we have that aren't fraud to beat them. That's why these emergency measures were put in the Constitution. And 250 years in, are we not long in the tooth? Is the country not on its deathbed? Is this race not neck and neck to save it? I guarantee you, if Thomas Jefferson saw this, or George Washington, he would go, get rid of the filibuster, pack the court.
So Jefferson was around before there were filibusters,
yep.
And the congressional rule book that he wrote in 1801 stressed the importance of the previous question motion, which was essentially a way to force a vote with a simple majority. 5 years later, Aaron Burr updated the rules and did away with the previous question motion, which led to the evolution of the filibuster. I bring this up to illustrate how shallow Alex's Jefferson scholarship is. He really should know more about this guy that he pretends is so important.
Mm.
Because he would know what his position is.
He's a pretty important guy for this guy specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to be totally clear. I do think that we should get rid of the filibuster.
Sure.
It's historically been used as a tool of the elites to block civil rights legislation and progressive bills that are really popular with the public, but not with the super rich.
Mm.
This is a very bad time to get rid of the filibuster because it's super clear that Trump and Alex's movement intends to overthrow the government and all of our basic freedoms. But on a purely philosophical level, I think the Democrats should have done the nuclear option when they had the chance.
Obviously.
So when Alex is advocating for getting rid of the filibuster, I don't disagree with him on the point.
Right.
I think the damage of doing it now will be irreversible, but yeah.
I like the people who go, you're destroying our country! And now that we've got our guy in there, blow it up!
Blow it up!
I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate the threat. These people are destroying our country, so you must vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the promise, I will destroy this fucking country.
Yeah.
I will burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my take on like kind of being wishy-washy on the filibuster,
sure,
as a whole,
sure,
like, I don't think that that's too out of line with positions I've had.
Sure.
But Alex definitely shouldn't think like that they should get rid of the filibuster.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a proponent of it historically, and he made heroes of Rand Paul and Ted Cruz for doing really long ones,
yep,
in the past. And I don't really think you have to read between the lines all that much. Alex is just saying that he would rather destroy our democracy than cede any more power as a white Christian man.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Like, it's emergency measures must be taken because I'm feeling vulnerable and scared.
It is the most collective, I am taking my ball and going home moment in history.
Mm-hmm.
It is 50 million people incorrectly understanding who has the ball and watching some rich ass take it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Good call, guys.
So that rich ass.
Yeah.
That's Trump, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, like, one of many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going to have his day. And maybe that day is today, right? Where he gets the business, where Alex gives him a real good, solid critique. Maybe
someday.
That's today.
Someday.
Dick Cheney's dead.
Dick Cheney's dead. See, we got to celebrate somehow.
Right.
Right.
So we got to speak truth to power.
Of course.
All right, I want to do a critique of Trump right now from a place of love and a place of wanting to beat the globalists because they literally want to put me in prison and destroy the country and destroy your future and cut your sons and daughters' genitals up. So,
and that's why I got to blow it up,
folks. And what Trump's doing to the globalists is night and day compared, you know, to what was happening. I mean, this is a godsend. It could be better, but don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Trump continues to care about corporate media, to get mad because CBS interviewed him and then cut it all up and refused to air large parts of it. He gets mad at late night comics that have almost no views. Now he's moved on to the even later shows that have about 300,000 viewers instead of a million. But he's 79, folks, and it's on record what he watches. MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, they have a war room they built for him where they have a bunch of shows up. My show, Steve Bannon's, they tell me there's like 50 shows up for him, and they've showed him how to control it, and he comes in and sits, and they try to, you know, get him to understand podcasting, and
that
this
can't
is what's
be real.
Big. And then, remember, he had an interview with Elon Musk. It had a billion people tuned into it.
All right, burn it all
just
down.
The show itself, not to mention all the clips that went out. Do you want to do a show with a billion people that watch it, or do you want to do one with a million and then get upset? But he's 79. He has major blind spots. And so this is for Trump, and I'm going to get it to him. And this is for Barron, who I know already watches. And this is for Don, and this is for everybody that I'm about to do. Mr. President, you have won the information war against the globalist. The left has its back broken worldwide. Populists are being elected everywhere. It's why they've now mysteriously, you know, killed 30-plus AFD members every time they're about to win an election.
Man, that number keeps going up.
Does seem to.
So it seems like Alex's harsh critique of Trump that comes from a place of love.
Love.
It mostly boils down to him not valuing Alex's form of media enough.
Yep.
He'll get mad and yell at Seth Meyers, but he won't come on InfoWars?
Idiot.
What gives?
What a fool!
So I'm proud to hear that Trump's staff has taught him how to use a remote control for the TVs in his Batcave from the Nolan movies setup.
To even hear that those are the things that exist, it makes my blood boil. It bothers me so much.
Well, they taught him how to control it, and he comes and sits down, and he watches his shows.
All right. Collectively, just don't do anything that he says. You're making my point for me. He's an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
He's already practically dead.
Here's the...
Fucking hell.
Here's the twist.
Sure.
I don't believe this.
I don't believe it either.
I think that Trump is probably more competent than the picture that Alex is painting with his, they just taught him how to use the remote.
Maybe.
With the 50 TV monitors of dumb bullshit that he watches.
I don't know.
I bet he does watch a lot of TV, but yeah. I bet he knows how to use a remote.
Mm.
I think that Alex is creating in his head a almost infantile version of Trump.
Yeah.
In order to excuse
right.
monstrous decisions that are made with a coherent adult
right.
mind.
Right. It has to be in his head like the Twilight Zone kid, where it's like, listen, he has infinite power and he's not good at not abusing it. But that's because he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you give any child / 89-year-old man / $1 billion, it's gonna behave poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
So he's mad that Trump is getting mad at Seth Meyers because it's attention,
sure.
and he's not getting any of it.
He's doing a lot of good stuff. And so I'm not just trying to criticize. It's just that I see so much as he got better about this in the first 6 months of his administration, not being baited in by corporate media with their lies. Don't worry. We're your surrogates. We'll deal with that. You're the leader. You need to be focused on the big strokes, the big issues, which I know you mainly are. I'm just critiquing to make it better. And I'll show you examples of this in a moment, of where Trump is spending his time on Lilliputians that have less than 500,000 viewers. What in the world are you doing?
So Alex is just straight up acknowledging on the show that he's a Trump media surrogate now, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's great.
This will be a good thing to remember the next time he tries to call himself the chronicler or the storyteller.
He's above the left-right paradigm.
I'm a passive observer just telling you the story of the news.
He's just here to report, buddy.
And again, Alex seems to have no problem with the president saying that making fun of him might be illegal, which is something that he posted on the social media site that he owns.
He owns it, yeah.
His complaint is squarely that Seth Meyers is not big enough for Trump to waste his time on, and he should leave that stuff to his media surrogates like Alex. I know I say this all the time, but this is such a pathetic outcome mm-hmm. for Alex's career to arrive at.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like the guy who punches himself.
Yeah.
Who he turned into.
Yep. Yeah. It is fascinating, like that idea. People made fun of him so much, whenever he was like, I'm the decider. You know, trying to accurately sum up his job.
Mm-hmm.
It is, to him, it was like, these smart people bring me stuff and I go, this one, not that one. It's is it better one, is it better two? That's his whole concept. And everybody made fun of him because, you know, you're supposed to be a capable administrator or a talented leader or an organizer or literally anything other than a guy who just goes, that one seems better.
Mm-hmm.
But they have internalized that so much to where now Trump is supposed to be that guy. He is supposed to simply be the guy. Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Just watch TV and go, or mm-mm. That's it.
Yep.
And that's what they want.
One grunt or two.
Yep.
And we will...
fucking amazing.
And we'll interpret it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think that some of it comes down to impressions.
Sure.
You know, like, I think that George W. Bush is... Like, the impressions that you could do of him were a little more fun.
They were, yeah.
Trump impressions are a bummer.
Atamanik had a good stretch.
Yeah.
But that was when we were all a lot younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, strategery. Mm. You know, like, there's there's a lot of fun
Yeah.
He seems mischievous.
Yeah.
Bush does.
But that was
Trump
what,
is an ass.
That was what made him and Cheney such a dynamite duo, you mm-hmm. know? He was like, oh, you're an idiot. And then Cheney was evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it.
And now he's dead.
Yep.
And Alex doesn't seem to be talking much about that because he's mad that Trump said something about Seth Meyers.
No!
I made this point many times myself. You have won. Now promote the ideology of liberty and freedom and stop turning these globalists that have all been pro-censorship into victims by saying, I don't know if that late night host is allowed to say that about me. That might be illegal according to FCC rules. Yeah, and it's true. Back in the old days, they were all quiet about it, but they told court media what to do. You've never got control of court media. You don't want to tell them what to do. You don't want to be the ESGs and the Democrats and BlackRock telling him to take a knee at the national anthem. You would tell people, don't take a knee. We don't need to do all that. We have all the soft power. Don't make these tyrants into victims.
This clip tells you a lot, because in it, Alex finally shows that he's totally aware that Trump saying that making fun of him might be illegal is flagrantly opposed to the Constitution.
Yep.
But that's not why Alex doesn't want him to do it.
Mm-mm.
Alex doesn't want Trump to take away Seth Meyers' free speech, because if he does, then Seth Meyers can complain about how Trump took away his free speech. Alex just doesn't want to give people he doesn't like something they can complain about, where they can play the victim.
Mm-hmm.
This position is cynical, and it reflects an ideology that's deeply entrenched in a belief that the ends justify the means. Trump shouldn't refrain from threatening comedians and media figures because it's fundamentally wrong for the president to do that in our system of government. He should refrain from that behavior for tactical reasons. It's important to understand that on a very basic level, Alex just doesn't care about pretending that the Bill of Rights matter anymore. That's just something we have to make peace with.
Yeah.
That specific example that he came up with at the end there was interesting, too, because I think it reveals how Alex feels about protest. In the case of taking a knee at football games, he believes that the entire thing was a globalist ESG conspiracy meant to demoralize white Christian men. It was all pushed by the corporate media who told players that they had to take a knee.
Right.
In Alex's mind, Trump doesn't want to be that kind of president. Mm-mm. He wants to be the kind of president, who tells them that they can't take a knee.
Don't take a knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is being presented as the positive alternative.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, Alex wants a president who will deprive people of their freedom to engage in protests like taking a knee if he doesn't like why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The irony I'm trying to get at here is that Alex wants the audience to hear this as a pro-speech argument that he's making for Trump,
yep.
But he's actually advocating for actions that would nullify the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It would make it meaningless.
Yep. Yeah.
Trump should be the guy who tells you can't take a knee.
I like it whenever people think that giving advice is not revealing what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, here's what I would do if I was president. Now, this isn't what I would do. You know, this isn't what I think. This is what I'm giving you to do that I think would be smart for you to do. You know, like destroy the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a smart tactical move. I don't want to do it. It's not me. I mean, I just voted for you, agree with everything you're doing so far.
And I'm now calling myself a media surrogate.
And I'm totally on board with kidnapping strangers. Mm. So, yeah, go for it.
So all that shit is fine.
No.
And it would be fine.
It is.
If Trump just would stop fucking engaging with the media.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Alex.
Oh, my God.
So then we have stuff like this. CBS News heavily edits Trump's 60 Minutes interview, cutting... Network paid me a lot of money, cutting the boast. And then Trump's all pissed that they cut it. Who cares? Why did you do an interview with him? And it was like he was all mad that they waited a week and he wanted to see it. And stuff like this. Why the hell did J.D. Vance and Erica Kirk hug like this? And she hugs him. He puts his hands around her. And it's totally normal. And they've been good friends for a long time. Oh, look, there's something going on here. Now, we can have convicted pedophiles come teach drag queen story time to your kid at school and not tell you, but J.D. Vance hugs a woman around the waist, and he's a pervert. That's the left, folks. Don't even respond. Screw him.
Screw him. So, Alex, he seems really confused about the fact that a media star turned president who has filled his administration with a lot of appointees who used to work in the corporate media mm-hmm. is now engaging with the media.
Weird.
He should just come out and say what he means, and that's that he's pissed off that Trump doesn't want to come on his show, and apparently Alex can't afford him, but 60 Minutes can. There's a lot of frustration here, but what it really comes down to is Alex having to face the fact that he sold his career to a dealmaker, and now he has nothing to offer that dealmaker. He doesn't want anything from Alex anymore.
Right.
The mainstream media and folks like Seth Meyers have something that Trump still wants, even if that's just playing his foil. But Alex has nothing. I would bet that Trump wouldn't notice or care if Alex decided to fully turn on him at this point.
Yeah.
Roger Stone would just get a new number.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Also, that hug between Erica Kirk and J.D. Vance was a little weird.
Oh.
I don't know if you watched it.
What? There was a creepy hug?
Yeah. Great. I'm not going to say that it's impossible that it was platonic, but sure. It was also very intimate. Instead of hugging him around the shoulders or neck, she puts her hands in his hair like you might if you were used to kissing someone.
That's weird.
Yeah.
She does what now?
Yeah, and prior to this, she'd said, quote, "No one will ever replace Charlie, but I do see some similarities of my husband and J.D., Vice President J.D. Vance." Which is a weird thing to say. It's all weird, but J.D. Vance is a really fucking weird dude.
Yeah.
And trying to keep it together in front of a crowd pretty soon after your husband was killed, that's a weird situation.
Sure.
So personally, I feel like I want to give them a little bit more leeway than I see a lot of people giving online.
Sure.
I'm not sure how this relates to drag performers reading to children, though.
I think what I'm struggling with here is this. I don't have a problem with what anybody is doing in regards to all of these people. My problem is... they should not be doing it anywhere near the rest of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, sure, that's weird or whatever. Great. Go have fun with that. Don't have power over the world. Like, that seems like a very easy trade-off for me.
I think that's part of it.
That's the problem.
It is.
That is the structural problem with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to see exactly, like, what kind of a problem it is.
It's going to be a bad one.
So one of the things that's going to be a problem is apparently Robert Kennedy... has banned most vaccines.
I don't think that's
true.
Here's
Senator Kennedy. Now, there's a 3-month notice in the federal law that 3 months is over, and now there is no longer any thimerosal sold anywhere that's high levels of mercury in the shots, and basically that's just outlawed almost all the vaccines that are out there that aren't even really vaccines. So this is a devastating victory against Big Pharma.
So thimerosal is only used in a few flu vaccines now, so Kennedy banning it won't have any effect on most vaccines. It wasn't a problem before, and RFK has done nothing to solve that fake problem.
Yeah.
But I think I pulled that clip mostly because Alex calls him Senator Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he might be the only Kennedy who's not a senator. I think everyone else was a senator at some point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, except for that one lady that they kept in the basement or the cellar or whatever it was.
Sure.
She wasn't in the Senate.
I bet there were a few Kennedys who didn't make it to the Senate, but
yeah,
it's a staggering number that did.
Too many.
Yeah.
Too many. I think historically, that's been proven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But RFK Jr. couldn't. He didn't make it.
For so many obvious reasons.
He had everything going for him in that his name was Kennedy.
I mean, and he was his name is one of the good Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the shitty ones.
Yep.
Man. He's
married to Cheryl Hines.
Brutal.
Everything's going great.
What a fucking lunatic. But how many times do we need to go over this? That guy should be fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anybody who deserves to be fucking nuts, it should be him. I don't understand how he gets to a place where people are like, and now what do we do, sir?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It is true. And I think given, you know, this point that you've made that he should be nuts, he's had a pretty unremarkable time in office so far.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think he'd set it on fire or something.
He should be doing more weird things.
Yeah.
In truth, that's our great disappointment. We should be seeing headless bear cubs fly off the ceilings at that fucking place.
Yeah, or there should just be like someone walks in and he's pouring a beaker into another beaker and his face and is all covered in smoke. That should be happening all the time.
Director, what are you doing? I've got an idea.
So we got a guest coming in, and it's not Dark Journalist.
Ooh.
It is an asshole, though.
Okay.
Well, we're into hour number two on this Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, off-year election. And look at him right there, the great Gavin McGinnis. Talk about an icon.
Fuck me.
Of the modern liberty movement, a fire starter, a modern Thomas Jefferson in the flesh. Find all of his censored material at censored.tv and Gavin_McInnes.
Man, that dude sure sounds censored.
Mm.
The show's called censored.tv, so you know that dude, he's been silenced.
Wow.
Gavin's a piece of shit who started a very sad drinking club that turned into a white supremacist street gang that tried to overthrow the 2020 election, while one of Alex's former employees was second in command of that street gang.
Real butterfly into a hurricane kind of situation.
Yeah. That said, he is kind of a modern day Thomas Jefferson, because I bet Gavin would enslave a black person if he could get away with it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So Alex's metaphor kind of works.
There's a lot to do with that. Yeah. Also, he's very creepy around women.
Now, here's something that's fun. I'm going to play this next clip, and it's Alex saying that Gavin McGinnis looks like a fucking creep.
Yeah.
But he meant to say Gavin Newsom. And Gavin McGinnis is on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Yeah,
okay.
Waiting to start the interview.
All right.
I mean, it's just crazy. Well, here he is in a new clip, plans to alert illegals before ICE raids in Minnesota.
He's talking about Omar Fateh.
Right.
If he becomes the new mayor, which he's slated to be. And here he is staring off into the sunset, wondering how he's going to move around more taxpayer funds to benefit himself. And yeah, the level of fraud by Somali lawmakers is the highest I've ever seen.
Wait, what?
The country. I mean, they are just, well, I mean, they sell black people into slavery. That's their specialty. So, I mean, what do you expect? And then we'll back to back, Gavin McGinnis, Patrick Bateman. I mean, I'm sorry, you judge a book by its cover. He just looks evil. I mean, doesn't this guy just look like a creepy dude? I mean, you're not going to have him babysit your kids. Same thing here. It's not just because he's black.
I think that Alex realized he said Gavin McGinnis, but then was like, I can't go back and correct myself.
Too late now.
Yeah.
Too late now.
So I don't think Alex could name a third Somali-American person, let alone a third politician other than Omar and Ilhan Omar.
What the fuck is he talking about?
He's just a racist who wants to make up statistics to make it seem like he's something smarter than a racist. But I mock him for saying Gavin McGinnis instead of Gavin Newsom, but I've screwed up Gavin's before.
Sure. It's just funnier whenever Gavin is forced to listen to it to his face. It's pretty fun.
Also, at the end there, Alex is saying he wouldn't let Omar Fateh babysit his kids, and he has to clarify that it's not just because he's black, because he knows that a lot of his audience wouldn't let a black person babysit their kids.
Just because they're black.
Yes.
Not for any other reason.
If you don't think your audience is super racist, you generally don't need to make caveats like that, and I think Alex knows he does.
Mm-hmm. I like to imagine the person I'm going to have to go with, let's face it, it's going to be University of Chicago, because those are the economics guys who truly have the sociopathy necessary to do it. But what's the proposal for the, what we need to research is exactly how thief attendant Somali lawmakers are in terms of like a real long-term study.
Sure.
What world does that happen where we have concrete, like, hey, man, what are you going to do? Somali politicians are just more this guy.
Well, I don't think the University of Chicago needs to embark on this costly and time-consuming research because Alex has read an imaginary white paper on the subject.
How? How could anybody even get started?
He was researching with his mind.
With his mind in his dreams.
Yes, he had a dream about Somali lawmakers.
Well, that would make sense.
Yes.
It was that. Did they kill Gene Hackman?
They might have.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Breaking news.
All Somali lawmakers, just by existing, have killed Gene Hackman.
No, there's other breaking news.
Oh, no.
Before Gavin gets into the interview, we find out that airplanes might not work anymore. Because the government's shut down,
Yeah.
We might have to just shut down...
everything?
The air.
Yeah.
And I predicted this... 2 weeks ago, I have Transportation Department sources, I have TSA sources, and I have FAA sources. And I got contacted by two of them, so I called the other one, and they said, listen, TSA hadn't been paid in weeks, this was weeks ago. They already got rid of the IT in many areas. Everything's breaking. They said a whole bunch of airports like Newark are almost shut down anyways because of the old equipment. And TSA doesn't have the money. They've been working for weeks and weeks. Now it's over a month without pay. They don't have money for gas. They don't have money for childcare, so they can't come in. So now you have 3, 4, 5, 6 hour lines. You have, on average, 3, 4 hour delays everywhere. Airports shut down for 6 hours, 10 hours. Now, Department of Transportation might be forced to shut down some airspace next week. So they're talking about completely shutting down because if it gets so dangerous, and that's the call of the air traffic controllers, because they don't have enough people, and then it stacks up. You know, if one airport has a problem, it moves on to the next. It's a cascade. They're already having more accidents, planes colliding on the runway. Here is a clip of the transportation secretary about how the Democrat Party terrorism holding up this spending legislation,
amazing,
which is their legislation, has caused this. We'll talk about this first with Gavin McInnes right now. Here's the clip.
The controllers got 90% of one payment, 80 to 90% of one payment. They miss the second paycheck. On Thursday, they get an email pay stub that'll show what their next payment is going to be. So this Thursday, they'll get an email that shows that their pay stub is a big fat zero. Many of the controllers said, a lot of us can navigate missing one paycheck. Not everybody, but a lot of us can. None of us can manage missing two paychecks. So if you bring us to a week from today, Democrats, you will see mass chaos. You will see mass flight delays, you'll see mass cancellations, and you may see us close certain parts of the airspace because we just cannot manage it because we don't have the air traffic controllers.
All the polls show that over 70% of Americans blame the Democrats. I can't believe 25% are so dumb they don't. This has never been done. Longest shutdown in history, a total shutdown on top of it. The others were partial.
So Alex shouldn't care about the TSA all getting fired. He thinks that the body scanners and all that shit is fake, and he was super into Elon and Doge firing a bunch of air traffic folks, so I don't get what his deal is now trying to pretend to care. I looked up some polls about who the public blames for the shutdown,
sure,
and Alex's numbers are a little bit off.
A little off?
An NBC News poll from November 2nd found 52% blame Trump and the GOP. On October 22nd, Quinnipiac released a poll showing 45% of registered voters blamed Trump and the Republican Party compared to 39% who blamed the Democrats.
Sure.
I can't find any numbers close to his unless you were to take one of these polls and combine the people who blamed Democrats and the people who blamed both sides and reported that as people who blamed Democrats.
Right.
And then not do the same thing with the GOP.
Nah, that's weird how that works.
You can't control every lever of power and blame someone else for the government not running. It's childish, and it just comes off as transparently weak to anybody who's not already, you know, drinking your Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, this sounds dumb.
I can't, you know, it's one of those things where this should be just a massive, like, we do got to redo everything. Because the idea that air traffic controllers have one of the most stressful jobs that has ever or ever will live, right? And they're paid shit. And we've known all of this for like 40 years. Longer. We've known all this since the 70s.
Well, there was that movie.
Right? We've been doing this whole thing. And we know that we could just pay them better. How is it not possible for me to, in my head, just be like, oh, well, those guys are the ones in control of flying. They're coddled. I'll coddle them a little bit. I'll give them a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I'll make them feel like, oh, I'm big dog here. Yeah. You control sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turns out, there's a lot of reasons we need to control sky.
How could you not understand? Just pay these guys well. Mm-hmm. This is multiple administrations. This is no political party. It is the dumb thing that we collectively do, which is not pay the people who control air the best.
I think this one goes back to Reagan, I think.
Yeah, this is a big Reagan
one. I think this is a Reagan.
Yeah, this is the strike-breaking piece of shit Reagan, yeah.
Who worked with Dick Cheney, who just died,
oh, yeah.
Who worked with Rumsfeld, who worked with Lemnitzer.
That all makes sense.
Boom.
Got it back 6 degrees.
Yep. So Alex asks Gavin, brilliant street gang organizer Gavin.
Yeah. Yeah.
How should Trump fix the airports?
Pay them!
No.
Of course not.
So how does Trump respond to this?
Can we just privatize all of this crap? I mean, DEI is totally infected.
Great.
The TSA. I don't know about air traffic controllers, but it seems like things are getting worse over there. The government has no reason to be involved with this. I was just on a flight the other day. This woman who was doing the checking the bags on the little X-ray machine, she was so scared of getting it wrong, she just flagged every single bag. So now we're all standing there in this mob. It's like we're in the third world, waiting to discuss what's in our bags. No one had water in their bag or anything they're not supposed to have. It was just incompetence. So if anything, if there's a lesson from this, it's privatize. Privatize everything you possibly can and start with the airport.
What an amazing, innovative solution that no one has ever considered before.
Amazing.
It takes rogue minds like Gavin McGinnis to come up with the hackiest conservative solution for every problem. Mm-hmm. Just privatize everything.
Yep.
Gavin's story is kind of perfect because all that happened was that he was inconvenienced in a line and he came up with a story about it.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what the person working the line saw or didn't see in people's bags. It's entirely possible that she had good reason to check all of the bags that she checked, but because it annoyed Gavin, he decided she was incompetent.
Yep.
On one level, Gavin wants to privatize everything because he's part of a political movement that caters to the super rich at the expense of everyone else.
Sure.
But it's also just a power thing. If this employee worked for a private company, Gavin would feel a lot more empowered to yell at her and think that he could threaten her job by just complaining to the boss.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a government job, it's more likely union and she has some protections.
Yep.
So he can't just be a piece of shit and like threaten her livelihood.
I mean, it is, but it's that attitude that goes back to the air traffic controllers thing. It all goes back to this. The powerful people that have existed basically forever think that it is a better motivator to half starve people than it is to give them a comfortable life.
Yep.
That is
and fear of starving the rest of the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's basically the whole thing. Like the idea that there is no possible way that they can understand that giving air traffic controllers like big pay packages and benefits and stock options like they do with CEOs would probably make them work better. They just can't process that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give a CEO a massive pay benefit package, they'll work better. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Not anything.
Oh.
Yeah.
So look, I think that you got to privatize these airports.
That makes sense.
Because it's a good idea and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work.
Yep.
It'll make people better employees.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still another problem.
What's that?
Some Muslims work at airports. And this
are we doing that?
Makes Gavin nervous.
Oh, God.
These people are idiots. Not all of them, but...
And their success rate is terrible. They've been tested time and time again where people are putting in guns to test the TSA, and they fail something like 70% of the time. It's a total catastrophe, full of boobs. And here's another thing. Why are there so many Muslims checking me? Like, imagine every single terrorist attack involving planes in America was Nazi skinheads, okay? And then you go to the airport and they're skinheads. They're not Nazi skinheads, but they're skinheads. You'd go, why are skinheads remotely involved with any of this? I don't want to take the risk. But you go to Newark, you go to JFK, and there's a woman in a burqa, you know, with a wand, making sure you're safe. I'm like, I'm safe. How do I know you're safe?
I was literally telling the crew before he even said that, pull up the famous images of the Muslims, like, grabbing little kids' genitals. It's totally insane.
So I know this. If the airports weren't hiring Nazi skinheads, Gavin might fuck around and start a street gang to try and solve that problem.
Yeah.
And then he'd force the young white men he was hanging out with to not masturbate and then get drunk and punch each other while they named cereals.
Hot.
This whole fucking shtick is just old. I get it, man. You're scared to see Muslims in public. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Like, why are we humoring this anymore as if it's a serious thing?
I mean, yeah, is that even supposed to be a joke? Or like, he, I mean,
I
obviously
think there's a part
he's expressing
of it that he hopes a laugh will come.
Right. Yeah. But he's expressing it, that's the thing. He's trying to express a very genuine feeling in a way that he thinks will elicit a laugh.
Yeah, and right? Then if he has to be held responsible for something, he could be, I'm joking.
What he feels is, I feel uncomfortable when brown people are near me.
Yeah, because they're unsafe.
Exactly.
They shouldn't have jobs.
Which is why I, a very safe person, started a violent street gang.
Well, it got a little out of hand. It was a drinking club named after a song in a musical.
If, let's say, somebody were 100% of the time going to start a violent street gang, that's Gavin McGinnis.
Well, look, I mean, it was a drinking club, and they talked about ideas.
Right.
Big ideas.
Right.
Like phrenology. things like that. The interesting cutting edge ideas.
I mean, I just, it's just so hard to live in the same time period as these people.
It's rough. But the future is going to be worse.
That's probably true.
And Gavin explains that in the future, all voting will be racial.
What is the end game of them wanting a Mondami or, you know, similarly, you know, the Somali pirate crazy man there in Minnesota? What would they like to do? I mean, what is their plan?
Don't overthink it. These are all simpletons, and all of these elections, from the Somali guy to Mamdani to basically all elections from here on in, are going to be tribal. They're going to divide into three groups. Blacks will vote for the black guy, Hispanics will vote for the Hispanic guy, whites will vote for the white guy, and then within whites you'll have Jews and Asians.
How
and within
do
blacks,
you get
you'll
so
have
smart?
Guys like Mamdani,
is
Indians,
there a school?
Bangladeshis, Arabs. Hispanics will just be Hispanics. But we are drifting in to an idiocracy wherein everything is race-based. Everything is ethnic. Everything is tribal. And they don't care about policies. No, none of these people know what Mamdani's policies are. Free food at grocery stores, free buses, affordable housing.
$50 million to cut more boys' dicks off.
Less cops. Like, it's all just made-up platitudes. But they don't. That's not why they're voting for him. They're voting for him because they don't like white people, because they like browns. It's all ethnic garbage. And
So this is what you might call projection?
Yeah!
Gavin wants to not feel racist for his racist views on who should be in office, so he's pretending that everyone thinks like he does.
Yep.
Similarly, he has no idea of what Mamdani's policy platform is because his media ecosystem operates off memes and racism, so he's projecting his unawareness onto all Mamdani supporters. Gavin is a bigot piece of shit, but this is also just self-soothing behaviors that he's engaging in this InfoWars safe space.
Yeah.
But you asked, how do you get this smart? I think there's two critical aspects.
Yeah.
One, you drink a lot.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have like a bunch of friends who don't want to talk to you anymore because you say shit like this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, have a nice supportive circle of people around you.
They'll keep you from saying these things. Yeah.
Yeah, but then keep saying them and then they'll stop talking
to you. They'll stop being around. Yeah.
So that's how you get this smart.
Man, that is so funny of like that idea of I must believe by my, like, everything, by everything that I am, by everything I believe, I must believe that I am at the top of the food chain smart-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot for a single second allow the possibility that anyone I disagree with is capable of a thought at a higher level than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, despite the fact that humanity has created the rocket, these people, they just think black is black.
I can't imagine ever voting for someone who wasn't white. And therefore,
right,
everyone's like me.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah. And the only reason I would only vote for a white person is because they would only vote for a black person. You know, like,
I mean, it makes sense.
What am I supposed to do?
It's not possible, since I'm so stupid, it's not possible for other people to be smart enough to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
So I must describe my stupidity to all.
Again, I think drinking and alienation, probably big factors in this brilliance.
Yeah.
So Cuomo.
Sure.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But Mamdani sucks more.
Is that how this works now?
Yeah, because Cuomo's white.
We're choosing between vomit and diarrhea here, but I guess I prefer vomit to diarrhea.
I was about to say, Cuomo is arsenic, Mamdani is cyanide.
But he's white, Sinek.
Yeah, I mean, Cuomo will wreck the city in less time. We've already had Cuomo
but here. But he's
white. He killed about 7,000 geriatrics during COVID by refusing Trump's help with that giant hospital ship he brought in that Cuomo refused to acknowledge. He pardons the weather underground. He calls everyone a Proud Boy. That's how he wins races. He accuses everyone else of being Proud Boys. So he's one of the worst politicians ever. but
he's white.
Mamdani beats him.
Well, I'll be honest. I was honest with the listeners. I think it's good that Mamdani get in a wreck at all. I know you live there and it's terrible. But, I mean, let's just get this out in the open. I think, you know, worse, faster, better.
Smash cut to 100 times Alex has said, I'm not an accelerationist.
Right? Crazy.
Yeah, let's just blow it all up. Fuck this shit.
I mean, this is the most perfect encapsulation of pure racism I think I've heard in a long, long time.
Well, yeah, and I think that's because we haven't listened to a ton of Gavin outside of like the Nick Fuentes interview.
Sure.
Like, we don't listen to a lot of him. I think he is just straight up racist.
Yeah, no, he's very racist.
He's less anti-Semitic, like, as a focus.
Right.
And I think a lot of the people that we deal with have much more complicated feelings on that front.
Right.
But he is just out and out.
It is not possible to have a conversation with somebody who is like, I have personal experience with this governor. I have personal feelings about things he exactly did do.
He slanders people as members of the street gang I
absolutely
started.
Absolutely. He does all of these things. I know he does all of these things because he has done them.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, this guy who's 34, who I've never heard of before, who I genuinely don't know anything about, is brown.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yeah.
Yep. Bam. Fuck me.
Cuomo sucks.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Gavin
that's
sucks.
Crazy.
He's real bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yep.
Is there breaking news?
There is breaking news.
Oh, no.
We have an update on the whether or not we can fly anymore story.
How we doing?
It's not good.
Uh-oh.
All right, just about 25 minutes ago when Gavin McGinnis joined us live on air, it was breaking. The Department of Transportation might be forced to shut down some airspace, entire airports next week, said Duffy. Because everything is breaking down, not just not paying the air traffic controllers, but a month of not paying the TSA, a month of not paying IT. The systems are just breaking. All you can do is then shut down flights. Well, this just broke. FAA issues ground stop for all flights in and out of Reagan National Airport due to security issue on a United Airlines flight that landed from Houston, Texas. All passengers have been offloaded and bused to the terminal. And again, a normal security issue wouldn't do this, but when everybody's understaffed, it's falling apart, this happens. So all of these things cascade and build up. Not airlines passengers off-boarded as Reagan Airport flights placed on ground stop due to security.
So regardless of staffing situations, what happened at Reagan Airport would have led to planes being grounded temporarily no matter what.
Yeah.
They got a bomb threat from someone saying that a particular plane would explode if it landed, and it had landed.
Ooh.
Alex is reporting this as if it's somehow connected to his earlier story, because that's a good way to heighten tension and create intrigue and keep people listening, but like, he has no reason to think that these are connected. They're just both airplane stories.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how I don't know any way to process the air traffic controller story other than everybody in the government should be like, hey, we punched ourselves in the dick so hard in the past, we're feeling it in the future. Literally, Reagan punched himself in the dick so hard, his kids are hurting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's some decisions that were made.
And nobody's at all taking responsibility for it. Nobody's out here going like, hey, listen, we fucked up in the past. I get that we've got the shutdown going on right now, but this should be day one when we get back. Mm-hmm. We'll just go, let's pay him a shit ton. I don't even want a number. We're going to write down shit ton of money.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
We're going to punch ourselves in the dick again.
I imagine that's probably going to be a... Yeah.
Let's say the government eventually reopens.
Right, right. Which, why?
At this point, dick punch.
Huge dick punch.
So, Alex and Gavin, they don't have a lot of news to talk about with that plane.
Yeah.
So, they move on pretty quickly.
Right.
They start reflecting a little bit on, like, our friends are kind of Nazis now.
Soup's Nazis.
Yeah, a bunch of these people that we hang out with, man, they don't like Jewish people.
Now, I want to get into Israel and the weird, and it is weird because anybody that pays attention even to mainstream news, universities, but also the internet, you'd say, oh, that's just X, that's just Facebook, that's just TikTok. No, it's on the street. It's when I go to a gas station. It's when I got a repair guy at my house.
That's what I'm thinking.
Black, Hispanic, you know, old, young, white. They're like, you know, it really is Israel. They run everything. We just dealt with them and everything be all right. And I'm like, no, Israel's got some corruption and major problems. It's a big lobby, manipulates us. They want to get us to war with Iran. I've got major issues. But no, I don't think if we sent all the Jews to Mars, you know, that would fix all the problems. That said, there's such anti-white, such anti-Christian stuff from the left and others. You can't point at Nick Fuentes and say he's the devil for basically responding to that by behaving the way he does, because he doesn't sound half as hardcore
I'm sorry?
As some leftist who says all Catholics or Christians are the devil and, you know, whites' genetics are inherently evil.
Sure.
I mean, there's inherent anti-Semitism in the DNA of Europeans. It's all crazy because the left will tell you Europeans are inherently anti-Semitic, but the Jews are the devil. So how has this become the zeitgeist?
It's the zeitgeist? To you?
Yeah.
This is your zeitgeist. You know how it's happened? You did it, Alex.
Yeah.
You allowed this to, you allowed yourself to become this kind of garbage.
Yeah.
But like, I think that, you know, there's something fascinating about how like Alex can't, he has to create this like cartoon character of like, oh, white jeans are bad.
Yeah.
Like, and that is the left.
Yep.
This cartoon racist anti-white character is the left, and that's the only way he can even justify talking to Nick.
Absolutely.
He knows what Nick believes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's to him, it's like, look at how bad I'm describing them, but he's not understanding the context. If you have to describe them that bad, that's how bad you are.
Right. And
right?
Let's take this one step further. You ding-dongs love debate. Why aren't you debating these anti-white cartoon characters?
Whoa. We don't talk to them. They're terrorists.
Or they don't exist.
Well, there is that, too. We were trying to debate Antifa, but then they disappeared in a pile of smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead, we'll just have Nick, who admittedly is a big old Nazi. We'll have him on and talk about how interesting and avant-garde his ideas are.
Like, can you imagine being like, okay, listen, I know Nick is a out-and-out white supremacist, but this is in response to circumstances at the time. Now, the left, on the other hand, they believe in a progressive tax structure.
Ooh.
38% for the top income earners past $1 million earned? Bullshit. How could you ever talk to them? Nazi wants to eradicate the Jews. How unreasonable is that?
Yeah, I mean, tax rate's going to get you a Hitler.
Absolutely.
You know, like, eventually,
sense.
Yeah. So, there's something going on.
Yeah.
In the right wing, right? And there's something happening where Gavin feels like he's being pitted against Nick in some way, right?
Right.
And this is a sabotage that someone is doing to him.
We are being sabotaged. I'm back on Twitter now after a 7-year gulag, and I was saying that the thing that annoys me about the left is they have this Facebook MSNBC bubble, and I know that sounds old, but these people are old. And they put something in the bubble. They can curate it just like a museum. And they go, all right, Trump is going to go for 3 terms and he's going to take away your Social Security. So have a No Kings rally defying those things, which aren't even true. And so they have this massive rally and it's frustrating. But we are the same. Someone has decided to curate our bubble and say, drive a wedge from right to right about Israel, anti-Semitism, use Nick Fuentes and their hero, Tucker Carlson, and make that separate the right. And we are all falling for it. It drives me nuts.
So I listened to Gavin and Nick's supposed debate, and him trying to sell this angle is disingenuous.
Not good.
No one's injecting some kind of feud into their right-wing bubble, but pretending that's what's happening is the only way that Gavin can ignore the fact that there's just a divide happening in their media space that's based on a sincere disagreement. They all want white supremacy, but don't agree on whether or not Jewish people can be white.
Yep.
Nick was clear that he doesn't believe Jewish people are white, and Gavin was clear that he thinks Jewish people are exceptional whites. This is the argument that they're having in all of these debates,
yep.
And I just refuse to play along with the idea that they don't understand that. They're not that oblivious of these issues that they care so much about.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're the type of person who says the only way that this thing that's happening makes sense is if a random unknown person is sabotaging it for an unknown reason, that sounds crazy, right? But if what you're doing is this, then the only way for you to not sound like you're crazy is to be like, well, somebody's sabotaging us, clearly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're crazy people shouting about ending the Jews.
Yeah, in the same way that Alex has to create this cartoon character to justify talking about Nick, Gavin has to create this delusion of bubbles in order to justify
if somebody is not sabotaging us, then we're crazy. And since that can't be true,
and we may have a moral obligation to act differently than we do.
Yep.
And also, it was Steve Bannon who was saying that Trump's going to go for a third term.
Wow.
And they very much want to take Social Security.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I mean,
that's not a bubble thing.
That's about as that predates about as obvious.
Trump.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
That's fucking, that predates slavery.
So now this might rock you to your core.
Yeah.
But I want to give Gavin McGinnis exactly one compliment.
Ooh, I'm excited.
He is not unclear about Nick being anti-Semitic.
Okay.
It's okay to disagree with Fuentes. It's okay to have problems with Israel. Israelis have a million problems with Israel. You're not an anti-Semite if you're curious. Yes, Nick Fuentes is anti-Semitic. That's why I debated him a couple weeks ago. It's on my site, censored.tv. We got along great because we were not allowing people to drive a wedge between us. We argue about things. Tucker Carlson, I've known him for a quarter of a century. If anything defines Tucker Carlson, it's his curiosity.
Ooh, his curiosity face that he does is very convincing.
People just, they focus on the wrong stuff about Goebbels.
Yeah.
Goebbels had a lot to say for him, man. Mm-hmm. He was a talented filmmaker.
So now, I think that there's two prongs of this that are fascinating.
Sure.
And one is that Gavin is not, like, trying to hide Nick's beliefs.
Nick's a Nazi.
It's not about Israel. It's not about some kind of a political thing. He is an anti-Semite.
Nazi Nick
hates Jews.
Yep.
And the second thing is, I don't understand how Gavin couldn't understand that Nick was making fun of him.
Right.
Like, that in that debate, he was mocking Gavin to his face.
I mean...
They did not have a good time.
No. No, but they accomplished what they were out to do, right?
Yes.
So I imagine that all of their collective memories of the way Nick treated them have soothed quite a bit since then, right?
Everyone made a little money.
Yeah.
But, if you watch that interview, it's very clear that Nick is making fun of him.
Yeah.
And mocking him. Like, there's a couple points where Gavin tries to rebut a point that Nick is making by calling a Jewish person that he knows. And then the Jewish person ends up agreeing with Nick.
Right.
And then they mock Gavin to his face.
Right.
So, like, it's a humiliation more than anything. And for him to be like, we had a great time, we had a debate, it's delusional.
Yeah, that's no good.
So we have some other big news, but this isn't breaking news.
This is not breaking news.
No, this is maybe some gossip.
Okay.
Alex spills the beans about how he was the one who set up the interview between Tucker and Nick.
Oh, my God, of course he was.
And just to interject this real quick. I am the person that engineered the Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes thing. He was really pissed when he was talking about his dad. Tucker called me. He said, is this guy good or bad? I said, I think he means well. I think, you know, you should talk to him. You should just have him on and just neutralize the situation. So they went and talked and then had dinner and then did it. I had no idea that this would then blow up into all of this. I was trying to do the opposite.
You fucked up.
fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. Fine. You can just never learn things. No. That's just, it's possible. I have lived my life completely wrong. You can just not learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just refuse. No.
I think that if this story is true, yeah, which I'm...
highly doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dubious on it.
Yeah.
But I think if it's true, Tucker's a fucking idiot.
Yep.
Because he talked to Alex Jones and was like, is this kid cool?
I mean...
who keeps calling me a Fed and did a couple of documentary episodes of his show exposing me? And I called a gay weirdo in right? his mom's basement?
Right?
Is he cool?
What are we doing?
Should I have him on my show?
That this is the story behind this.
I don't think it is.
These people are absolutely nuts.
But I think Alex needs to make himself the center of things.
Yeah.
And that it makes sense.
Now's a good time to... everybody's exhibiting a lot of self-soothing behavior these days.
Yeah.
A lot of thumbs being sucked.
Holy shit.
What?
Very appropriate that you say that.
We're about to get some thumb sucking?
This next clip is the most, like, everything's okay.
Oh, my God.
I've heard in a long time.
And I've had talks with, you know, Fuentes off air and on air, and I've said, listen, the Democrats are making you, you know, this poster child and saying how great you are and pushing you, and the Young Turks are, because they want to drive this wedge. You know, once they get in, they're going to put you in prison. I said, the Republicans aren't going to put you in prison. The Democrats are cancer, buddy. And I've said it on air and off. And I said, you just really need to think long game here. Okay. And that's all I've said. And I'm like, you know, okay, yeah, a bunch of rich Jews did put Trump over the top. So did all of us, because he's better. You cannot throw babies out with the bathwater, and you cannot monolithically say Israel is just one big thing, because it's not. And he started, because he gets this, people come to his house to kill him. Where were the Democrats when that happened, you know, 10 months ago? They weren't defending him. I was. So I'm just saying, think second, third, fourth order, and I think Nick is smart enough to do it. So give, I know he respects you. He says he loves you. I do too. Talk to Nick right now. I mean, how do we thread the needle here?
Well, I think Nick is coming around. I mean,
yeah, he's probably coming around.
I think he's coming around. I think he's got this one. These guys are so crazy.
Yeah.
This is so weird. It has to be just they're trapped in this old world. Like, because the reason that Nick and his ilk can really get away with it now, right, is Israel committed a genocide. You can't commit a genocide. Can't do it. Right?
No, I think that helps, you know, launder anti-Semitism right? into Israel discourse.
Right.
I think that that definitely provides a lot of cover for Nick.
Exactly.
But I think there's a lot of other variables.
Sure. But
and
I mean,
many of them are Alex and Tucker's fault.
No, absolutely. But that's what I'm saying, is that they're not living in the world where you can just do it, right? Mm-hmm. They're living in the world where there's going to be a cancellation coming.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to get canceled.
It's almost like they think the parents will take care of them.
Absolutely.
Like the adults will eventually come and
yeah.
and reveal him to be a Nazi.
Yeah.
And then he won't be their problem
See,
anymore.
You're not allowed to be a Nazi. They're waiting to say, I told you so, mm-hmm. whenever the adults ground him.
And it's not going to happen, and he's not coming around.
No, of course not. You're going to be licking his boots.
I think there's something
pathetic losers.
So fun about this reassurance.
Yeah.
This like,
I think he's coming. I think he's coming around.
He's a good kid.
I think he's coming around. He's got some bad ideas, but I think he'll grow out of them.
He's got a lot of bad ideas. You know he believes them. You are very clear that he's an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Alex, you're talking about conversations you've had with him off air about this. Like, come on, guys.
When you sound like the New York Times in response to Hitler's election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's going to get moderated over time. You have made a grave miscalculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, this goes back to, like, you know, what you were saying about, like, if you could just jump in midstream or whatever.
Mm.
If you're Nick hearing that shit, it's just like, these guys are
you're
so
joking.
Weak.
You're
They're
joking.
So weak.
Did you just hear him say, I think he's coming around? Listen to that tone of voice.
Mm.
Ugh.
Very desperate.
Ugh.
And I think the reason they're desperate is because, like, you know, Charlie Kirk's dead now, and
sure.
there's not a lot of connection to the youth.
Mm.
There aren't a lot of cool Republicans.
I think the big
thing
with Nick is, ignore the youth at your own peril. We are all acting like school marms right now. And when you do that and you turn someone into a pariah, young people go, well, that's cool. He's Sid Vicious. I like that. So just calm down and stop being such an uptight.
I was about to say, doesn't AIPAC know by attacking Tucker? I mean, because I could do this in Edgelord, and Tucker's not been doing it. Nick's always been doing it, so he's not edgelording, but everybody else is. This is who he is, but exactly. Don't they know by attacking them and saying they need to die that turns them into the ultimate Sid Vicious?
And your movement is nothing without young people. So at the very least, lend them an ear and see what they're doing. I mean, a lot of Nick's most hyperbolic quotes are obviously the way we talk in bars. He's obviously being hyperbolic when he says we have to deport all the small hats and all the pejits and all that stuff.
Is that the way you talk in bars?
Colorful talk, which we all do.
Which negates your non-talking
about. Interesting. But to just write him off as baby Hitler and then say Tucker's lost his mind, he's not MAGA, write him off. That is exactly what the left is going for. And we're the mature ones in the room. We're the ones who laugh and say, oh, touche, and we can handle your debate.
Ho, 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 ho. So it's fun to say that Nick is just saying things that you would say at a bar, but adults don't talk like they do at the bar all the time. It's embarrassing in other contexts to talk like that, even if we just accept that Gavin loves being a racist at a bar.
I guess.
Like, even if that's cool,
I guess.
Then still, you know, don't talk like you're at the bar all the time.
Especially not if you're on a radio or TV or the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Folks like Gavin have to cling to the illusion that Nick's racist and anti-Semitic beliefs are just locker room talk, because if they were real about the fact that Nick would deport all the Jewish people in the United States if he could, they might feel a responsibility to change their behavior in response to their disagreement with him. As long as you pretend it's all fun and games, you can justify being complicit in it, and even present your complicity as you being mature enough to get this sophisticated racist humor. But once you start dealing with this in the harsh daylight of reality,
yeah,
you might have to stop making money talking to this asshole.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if you believe what Nick Fuentes believes, right, then I am set against you. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no talk. You are my enemy.
Yeah.
We are not in a situation where there's a debate or an agreement that can be come to. One of us can have what we want.
Yeah.
Right?
Our fundamental disagreement involves whether or not other people are equal humans.
Yep.
I will not budge on this, and neither will you.
Not even a little bit.
So what's the fucking point?
Exactly.
And
these people have some sort of like, well, some people are people. And it's like, I don't even know where to begin with why you would even start that. Once you start with some people are people, just be a racist all the way.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm just a little racist. Fuck off. Just be a racist.
You're either lying about how racist you are or setting yourself up to be exploited by a person who's going to make you more racist.
Yep.
Enjoy.
It's ridiculous.
But see, Alex, he likes to talk to Nick because he's forever young. Alex. I couldn't even say that.
I'm on his team, I guess. Blow it up.
I'm always forever young. I always want to learn the newest thing. I'm fascinated with youth because I'm forever young. And that's why I have Nick Fuentes on, because I've got a magnifying glass on that. And exactly, these guys like Mark Levin and their bubbles, they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea.
Yeah. No, ignore the youth at your own peril. What I always say to Nick is, I'm like, you sound like a Jew right now, Nick, because what do Jews do?
They I'm funny,
pour
right?
Over the Talmud,
I think I'm
they
funny.
Pour over the Torah.
People think I'm funny.
They criticize themselves.
People don't talk
they
to
say,
me
oy vey, we're bad for society. They overanalyze every move they ever make. That's a very Jewish thing. He sounds like the rabbis I know when he talks about.
I was about to say, there's two groups. There's the people obsessed with Israel and the Jews in general that are obsessed with. It's like, and I'm not against the Jews and I'm going to be not get the Nazis reformed over here. But exactly, it's like, can you understand that I'm not obsessed with you, and you give me a headache?
This is cool. This is a good bit. These guys are there. This is what it's like in a writer's room.
This is a two-man game. Yeah, this is first banana, second banana shit.
These Jews give me a headache.
Wolf.
God, what the fuck?
Oh man, to be these two dudes.
Yeah,
just being fucking insane at each other, and it's the left's fault.
I love the idea that they have found careers where they can just show up wasted, probably.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter.
No, it probably actually it makes their performances a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Gavin thought that was hilarious.
I know he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I know deep down inside he was like, people are going to lose their shit over this.
This fucking 23-year-old kid, 26, whatever the fuck age he is.
This Nazi? He sounds like a Jew!
Holy
hey,
shit.
Hey, what's that? Give me a round of applause!
I mean, I basically dunked on him so hard that he's going to come around.
That is so much like the type of shit you would hear at an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see this 19-year-old kid walk off real sad. And it made you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss watching people truly fail and knowing it.
Well, and especially,
that's what comedy gives to you.
Like at an open mic too, you could see someone fail and then you would see them go over and maybe get a couple shots.
Yep.
And you knew what was happening.
Yep. The day has begun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gavin should feel that way.
Oh yeah.
I think he drinks and he's a little happier though.
Mm, that's true.
So anyway, Gavin's got to go.
Good.
I just checked the time on this watch
nice.
That Alex used to own. And Gavin's got to go.
Got to go.
And so unfortunately, there's no time to get into more Muslim bashing about Mamdani.
Of course.
I want everything.
Hey, Gavin, you're on fire. Can you do like 10 more minutes or you got to go?
I got to go. I'm live in 5 minutes.
Darn it.
On censor.tv.
Well, I wanted to show you the ballot in New York. All right. Come back again.
Oh, yeah. Zoran's on it twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But it's worse than that. But wait, exactly. All right. I said, wait till we see the ballot. Well, we got it. Censored.tv, censored.tv. Gavin, amazing interview. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
So we want to talk about how Zoran's on the ballot twice, and we have some theories about it. We have some conspiracies about it. But we wasted too much time talking about Nick. They spent so much time talking about goddamn Nick.
I mean, it's what they want to talk about. They want to talk about gossip and palace intrigue and all of that shit so bad, because the idea of actually running a government is horrifying.
That is true. But I also think that they gravitate towards this conversation because they do understand what the media, like, crossroads is.
Yeah.
Like, they're particularly interested in gossiping about Nick because I think they're worried a bit about the influence that he wields.
It definitely feels like they're both agreeing, like, tone of voice-wise, behavior-wise, content-wise. These are two people agreeing that if shit goes down, they're on Nick's team.
Yes, but also that whiteness is primary.
Right, for sure.
I think Alex and Gavin are both people who don't really care that much about Israel or anti-Semitic ideas.
Yeah.
Like, everything that Alex believes is, like, marinated in anti-Semitic shit.
Right.
But I don't think that he, like, is mad at Jewish people.
Yeah.
Whereas Nick is.
Yeah.
So I think Alex and Gavin are more on that, just like, hey, white is white.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
We're cool.
Right.
Whereas Nick's got rules.
Right. That's the thing. Like, in a way, both of these two old men kind of realize that white's not real. And eventually, if we've got too much white, then there'll be white that's whiter than white, and we'll get rid of those guys. They'll be non-white now, too, you know?
But then also, if the only cool kid in the Gen Z crowd is the guy who has more rules than us,
that's not cool.
We're going to have to start following his rules.
Yep.
And I think they're struggling with that, and that there's kind of an awareness. Because Alex isn't going to be cool again.
Nope.
Gavin debatably never was that cool.
Agreed.
I like all of these people who have like mainstream radio shows. They're not really cool.
Yeah.
No one's cool. But Nick's kind of cool.
I mean, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
These people are so sad.
I think Alex should start streaming video games.
I agree.
Yeah.
That'd be better than whatever this is.
Painting show.
Yep.
Streaming video games.
Yep.
Cooking, probably cooking.
I mean, I think you're right. I think his penance,
the fireside
for
show.
All of us, right? Because his penance to the families will never be paid, but his penance to the world will never be paid either. He should be forced to be a blank entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, he has to always be entertaining. Something that he is doing must be watched by other people, and they must find it entertaining.
Well, that's too high a bar to clear.
Obviously.
But I think that's, I think we could do a, I want to be clear.
Okay.
As far as penance goes, for me,
sure,
I've got his watch. I don't give a shit.
Fair enough.
But if we want to work out something for the world,
right,
I think we should, people should be like, okay, here's the theme for your show this week.
Yes.
Like, painting could
yep.
be this week.
Yep.
Maybe next week.
A Democratic vote
mm-hmm.
is the worst thing possible. People will vote, and they won't. It, votes will count twice if you don't like Alex.
And maybe some weeks be like, hey, you know what? You've been having a good time with these bad suggestions that
right.
we have. We'll give you a shooting week.
Right.
You can go shoot some guns.
Right.
We'll watch that.
But there'll be a twist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to be, there's always going to be a twist.
Yeah.
Probably a bear trap. I just feel like bear traps should be involved at all times.
No.
Oh, no?
Dick Cheney faked his death. He's going out shooting with
That's
you.
That's a good call.
Twist.
Got, now we've got it going. Now we're doing something.
Also, Alex did not seem to bring up or talk much about Cheney dying. Anyway.
Weird.
Yeah. Being mad about Tucker
yep.
stuff is probably more important.
These guys are really, they really are obsessed with Nick being.
They're deep in the weeds.
Yep.
It's sad.
It is sad.
And we'll find out how deep this sad bullshit goes next time when we check in. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.